Hi, folks. Welcome to the Great Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Calvin Smith, and this is where we discuss five big topics: the gospel, relevance, evangelism, apologetics, and training for Christians, all in relation to the truth of God's word in Genesis as the seedbed of all Christian doctrines. And what we're going to be talking about today is how can geology erode Christian spirituality? Now, I've talked about this topic on one of our Creation Basics episodes, and if you haven't seen that show yet, I encourage you to check it out, because it's a great way to get a daily dose of a creation apologetics in a really bite-sized format so you can stay spiritually fit, so to speak. It's your daily creation vitamin. It's available on Answers.tv and our AIG Canada YouTube channel and several other platforms as well. So just look up Answers in Genesis Canada Creation Basics if you'd like to check that out. Okay, so back to how can geology erode Christian spirituality? Well, let me give this away right from the start. You can't separate the truth about God's work in the physical world from spiritual truths without drastic consequences. So let's flesh this out. Many Christians believe the biblical account of Jesus' life and resurrection, as well as the spiritual teachings in the Bible, yet they reject some of the earthly things that Scripture teaches, such as a recent six-day creation and a worldwide flood. They believe the Bible's purpose is to help us understand spiritual truths rather than the physical world around us. But you can't divorce the spiritual things from the earthly things in the Bible. Rejecting one will ultimately lead to rejecting another, or the other. Jesus said as much when he told Nicodemus, "If I have told you earthly things and you don't believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" That's John 3:12. Consider just one example, the geologic record. Many Christians in the Western world accept a secular interpretation of the geologic record. They believe the fossil layers reflect the burial of living things over millions of years, contrary to what Genesis 1-11 teaches about a young Earth and a global catastrophic deluge. Christians who believe the Earth's sedimentary rock layers resulted from billions of years of deposition almost invariably entertain the idea that Noah's flood was either a localized flood or simply a myth. However, even the New Testament describes Noah's flood as global. In 1 Peter 3, 3-6, the Apostle Peter says this, "Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.' For they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished." Now, that word "world" is the Greek word cosmos, referring to the global extent of the flood. So, depending on your worldview, you could interpret that passage one of two ways. You could say, well, scoffers will come and deny a global flood. Or you could say, scoffers will come and deny a local flood. But Bible scoffers aren't denying a local flood. Even secularists often propose a local flood is the reason not only for the biblical flood account, but also for the flood legends of various peoples groups around the world. No, these scoffers are denying a global flood. The fact that Scripture refers to such people as scoffers should concern Christians who hold to that old earth position. Because, you know, what's the actual impact on spiritual things? Well, this passage links scoffers' denial of the flood to following their own sinful desires. Now, what's the connection between sinful desire and a denial of the plain reading of Scripture? Well, Dr. Keith Mascord provides a simple example of this. In 2012, he wrote an article titled "Beliefs Must Be Tempered by Facts," in which he argues that Christians should accept gay marriage. And I'm going to read some of his own words, and I want you to watch how those excerpts, in these excerpts, notice how he mentions Noah's flood before segueing into his anti-biblical stance on marriage. He says this, "Moreover, whenever the story of the flood is referred to somewhere else in the Bible, the writers appear to take the story as factual. Jesus appears to have accepted the story in this way in Luke 17, 26 and 27. Jewish and Christian interpreters have also mostly taken it that way as well until the past few hundred years. The big problem with this is that the Noah flood story is almost certainly not factual. The only reason a plain and church history long reading of the Noah story has been overturned in favor of seeing it as a localized flood is that scientific discoveries have made that necessary. Many of the first geologists were Christian clergymen. It was under pressure from the discoveries that the biblical text came to be reread and reappropriated. There's good reason to think that we will need to do the same, i.e., overturn the plain and church history long reading of the Bible's words with the issue of marriage equality. Throughout history and across cultures and within the Bible itself, homosexual practice has been almost universally condemned, but we now know or have increasingly strong reasons to believe that people are born gay or lesbian. Now, think that through. Do you see how this works? Because Mascord thinks that science has shown that we don't have to take God's word as plainly written regarding a historical and physical event, the global flood, then he says we don't have to take it as plainly written regarding a moral issue, homosexuality. In other words, it isn't God's word that has the ultimate authority. It's a man's word that is supreme. And with this line of reasoning, he concludes that we should support sinful behavior that the Bible condemns. So just like I said at the beginning, it is logically impossible to disconnect the Bible's spiritual truth from physical and historical truth, although many scoffers, even though many of those inside the church, attempt to do so. You know, just as Satan confused Eve to make her doubt what God said, and then deny God's word in Genesis 3, 1-6, so scoffers today cause confusion and doubts to destroy Christians' faith. And we can recognize danger by knowing what God's word clearly says, so we can hold fast to it and not be led astray. In the case of the geologic record, the Bible says that there was a global flood, and to reject that is to reject a plain reading of the word of God. As always, if you're appreciating this content, please visit the answersingenesis.ca website and consider donating to the ministry. And whatever platform you're accessing this on, it's got a bunch of combinations of features that allows you to like or subscribe or share, perhaps do a review. And we'd really appreciate you taking the time to do so, because hitting all those bells, whistles, and buttons, it's probably the best thing you can do to help us continue to do outreach. So until next time, I'm Cal Smith. Blessings to you and yours.